reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 13 to 23. The escape to Egypt. When the Magi had gone back, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." The return to Nazareth. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he had heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in the place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene. This is the word of the Lord.
We have come to the end of this year, 2025. Last Sunday of this year, we have come. As we look back, we get this impression that God was with us, Emmanuel. He helped us all along through this year. I'm quite sure that without his help, we would have not come to this end of this year. He kept us safe. He continues to provide us. And he gives us enough opportunities to know about him and to follow him. So it's a time to give thanks to Almighty. Thankfulness is thankfulness. We think and we thank God. We look back and we understand how things have gone, and then we thank God. So it is thankfulness. We are remembering. Today I thought I would also take up the words of the year in my short meditation and discuss about it, but as this topic is only on thankfulness, I will not talk about the words of the year. The words of the year that we all have memorized, I'm going to give a short write-up on that and will be posting it on our website. You also, I ask you, if you have learned a particular lesson out of this words for the year, please write it and send it to me. I'm more than happy to read and understand how God has helped you through these words. In spite of many blessings, we still face difficulties. Why? My prayers are not answered as I want them to be. I am a godly man. I am a religious man. I worship God sincerely. Why such things happen to me? This is very common among Christians. This is common. This is relevant to me also. Why this happens to me? Such things should not happen to me. I'm a follower of Jesus. Such things should not come to me. What should I do when such things happen? That's what basically I want to focus. We will focus on the Holy Family in our meditation this morning. Holy Family, Joseph, Mary, and their newborn child, and Mary's son, Jesus. They faced many difficulties. Now, we have Matthew coming up with the infancy narrative. Luke comes up with the infancy narrative, birth narrative, you can call it. But Mark is not talking about all that. He gets into the gospel right from Jesus' adulthood. He is not thinking about Jesus' birth. John, of course, we meditated. He talks about the pre-existence of Jesus in his gospel. Prologue, we call it, John chapter 1, verse 1 to 18. Matthew comes up Jesus' birth narrative from the perspective of Matthew. Luke comes with the perspective of Mary. We all know that. But both of them give a different picture. When we look at Luke, Luke is giving a wonderful, joyful picture of Jesus' birth. It's filled with the song. Mary sang a beautiful song. We call it Magnificat. Zechariah sang a beautiful song. Zechariah is the father of John the Baptist. And the angels, when they appeared to the shepherds, they said a beautiful poem. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace, among whom his favor rests. Glorious picture, joyful picture. And Simeon, when he received Jesus on his hands, he also sang beautifully. So Luke is giving a joyful picture about Jesus' birth. I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. That's how Luke is presenting the birth of Jesus. Good news of all people. Whereas when we look at Matthew, he paints dark clouds about Jesus' birth. Dark clouds. What are the clouds, the dark clouds? His life was at threat. Jesus' life was at threat. Joseph, Mary, and Jesus had to flee to Egypt. Egypt is not a very nice place. They were refugees into that alien land, a land of slavery. They ran there. And King Herod was a notorious king. He killed children who were two and below in Judea. So a dark cloud, dark clouds, that what we see in Matthew's birth narrative. King Herod overshadowed Jesus' birth narrative. That's what we see there. Now, Luke comes up with the joyful picture. Matthew comes up with the dark clouds. Are they contradicting? Are they talking something different from one another? I don't think so. Not at all. Both of them are giving the factual matters. Both are part of our lives. Someone very beautifully said, the Christian journey is walked on a road where joy and sorrow meet. Yet Christ walks beside us, turning even our burdens into blessings. Both are there, part of our life, but joy takes over. The Lord, the Emmanuel is with us. He changes things as we walk in this difficult path. So when we thank God, we have to thank God for the difficulties that we faced. Some of these difficulties might have turned into joy, into a blessing. Some of the difficulties we may still carry, but be confident in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. The Lord, the Emmanuel, is with you. He will turn the darkness into joy. So as we come to the end of the year, think about some of those difficulties. The problem with us is that we have short memory on bad things happen to us, or the difficulties that we faced. But start thinking how he turned our difficulty into a blessing. We may still have some difficulties, but remember, this is very much natural in a Christian's life. There are three prophecies fulfilled in our gospel portion that was read to us. What are those three promises? Out of Egypt I called my son. Second, Rachel weeping for her children. Thirdly, he will be called Nazarene. We will look at these as we continue to meditate. Now, we know the Old Testament Joseph, and the New Testament Joseph, the husband of Mary. Let's do a kind of a comparison. Joseph in the Old Testament had dreams and he interpreted. The New Testament Joseph had dreams and he obeyed. Can anyone tell me or tell us how many dreams Joseph in the New Testament had? How many dreams he had? Three is not correct. Two is also not correct. Four. Yes, Oliver got it. Yeah. In fact, one dream that also could be added, the Magi were instructed on a dream that they should not go back to Herod. So if we add that, I don't know who got that dream. Is it Joseph or the Magi themselves? We don't know. If we add that, then five dreams. So the first dream is to take Mary as his wife. The second dream is about their travel to Egypt. The third dream is about their return back from Egypt. The fourth dream is to go back to Nazareth. So four dreams he had. And he obeyed all the dreams. Very good. Now, Joseph in the Old Testament led his people, led his family to safety. The family moved from Canaan to Egypt. God guided them, protected, and God used Joseph of Old Testament to save his family out of that famine. The same thing we see with the Joseph of the New Testament, holy family, flee to Egypt to escape from King Herod. So again, we see God guided him, protected him and saved his family. The third similarity, Pharaoh was known for his cruelty. The Pharaoh of after 400 years of staying there, he was not aware of Joseph, so he ordered all male-born children to be killed or to be thrown into the water, to be killed. So that's what we see in the Old Testament, Joseph. In the New Testament, Joseph, again, we see King Herod ordered that all children below two should be killed. Again, that's the prophecy which is fulfilled, Rachel weeping for her children. Moses led the people out of Egypt, out of slavery, and liberated from the house of slavery and led them to the promised land. That's the Old Testament. Here again, we see Jesus is called out of Egypt to save his people. And that's the reason this particular expression has come. He will be called, out of Egypt I called my son. When Herod died, the Holy Family were called back, instructed to come back to Judea, and then later they went to Nazarene. We have to remember that God's saving work begins in a place where we would not choose. Nobody chooses Egypt. Nobody wants to be a refugee. But God placed us in a place where we are safe. That could be in a difficult situation. That could be a refugee. God can turn even the exile into protection. They were safe in Egypt. You never know your current position. That is the safest position. We always have this kind of a complaint. It would have been better if I stayed some other place. Why I'm having this situation? This situation should have not been the case. I should have not been led to this situation. Who knows? This is the safest place. I watched a movie, and that movie has a good message come out of it. So I thought I will share that story. A son wanted to steal money from his father. Every night, the father would go to bed. Before going to bed, he will take the currency, the money from his shirt pocket, count it. The son watches everything, and he counts it and puts it in his pocket, and he goes to sleep. The son gets up in the middle of the night to go and see whether he can steal money from his father's shed. But he goes and sees no money is there, currency is not there, the pocket is empty. In the morning when father gets up, he goes to his shed, he takes up the currency, counts it, and then he puts it in his pocket and he goes to his work. The son was puzzled. Night I see money kept there, but in the middle of the night money disappears, and in the morning again he has money. How that can be? Probably I missed something. Tonight I am going to get the money. Again that night he saw the father was counting the currency and keep it in on his pocket. In the middle of the night, the son went and saw. No cash was there. But in the morning, again, the father got up and counted the currency in front of the son, and he left. It was happening in several nights. The son tried his best to find where the currency is. On a particular night, he went on searching the entire room. It should be somewhere, but nowhere the money was. So the next day, he decided to ask his dad. Dad, I see money kept on your pocket in the night. In the morning, again, I see in the middle of the night, it doesn't stay there. The father said, look, I know that you are trying to steal my money. I know the only safest place is your shirt pocket. So in the night, after you sleep, I take the money and I go and keep it on your pocket. And I slept nicely. And the next morning before you get up, I go and take it and put it in my pocket. I know this is the safest place. Father knows the safest place. That may be a bit of difficulty for us, but that's the safest place. He called his son out of Egypt. God is in full control. Any situation that you are in, remember that God is in full control. He can lead you to a good place. Wait. Then the other statement here is, he will be called Nazarene. Why this, he will be called Nazarene? In Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1, it says, a shoot come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Jesse is the father of David. A branch will come out of the stump of Jesse. What does that mean? Now, Israelites failed. They had only one good king. Who is that king? David. After that, things went bad. And it is almost gone. Assyrians came and they cut off all the kings. And totally destroyed. No future. It was a flourishing state. People were happy to be part of Israel, but things have gone, no life whatsoever. Now Isaiah is giving a prophecy that a shoot will come out of it, a branch will come out of it, from the stump. What is stump? Stump is like, you know English better than me. The stump is, the tree is cut off, the trunk is cut off, only the root and a kind of a portion which is left over. In some time, in due time, you will remove the root and the stump. Stump, there is no life. Everything is cut off. And the Isaiah is prophesying that there will be a branch coming out of it, a shoot come out of it. Yes. Stump is dried, it is withered, but a branch is possible from this stump. And that branch is our Lord Jesus. Why he is called Nazarene? He grew up in a small village called Nazareth. The entire population could be only 150. Anything good can come from Galilee. Anything good can come from a small village in Nazareth. If you are from Jerusalem, yes, you are well versed with the scripture. You know the doctrine. People, the brainy people are there, the intelligent people are there. They might have taught you. What about Nazareth, a small village, obscure village, a humble village? Yes, God will raise life from Nazarene. Yes, things may considered as dead. Things may considered as no life. But shoot can come out of it because our Lord is active in this world. The Lord, Emmanuel, is with us. So if your situation is dried, without hope, if you think that everything is cut off, remember that God can bring life out of you because Emmanuel is with us. So thank God that he is with us. The disciples came to Jesus and asked this question, Lord, is it his sin or his parents' sin that he is born blind? You know, there was a man who was born blind. The disciples came to Jesus and said, he is born blind. Is it his sin or his parents' sin that he is born blind? That question is a wrong question. They should have said, Jesus, you are standing here. Why don't you open the eyes of this born blind? That's the right question. We are asking the wrong question. Whatever situation you are, don't go back and ask question why this has happened, how this has happened, why I have to go through these difficult times. Ask God, Lord, you can bring shoots out of stump, dried tree. Why can't you bring change in my life? Yes, according to Matthew, Jesus was born in the midst of dark clouds, but Jesus emerged as the greatest king, the only king. God's purpose is fulfilled. Things were very bad, but God's purpose was ultimately accomplished. I would say 2024 was hard. 2025 was even harder. I don't know how 2026 will be. We don't know. But we know for sure that God with us. We know for sure that we have to carry the cross. Suffering and struggling are part and parcel of our life on this earth. But we are carrying empty cross. Jesus won the battle on the cross. So enter the new year with confidence because we have God with us. Jesus himself said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. God is in control. May the dear Lord help us so that we continue to thank him and receive his strength as we move along. God bless us all. Amen. Shall we stand to our feet and say this short statement of faith? Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. He was buried. He was raised to life on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. Afterwards, he appeared to his followers and to all the apostles. This we have received and this we believe. Amen.